Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Tuesday. Man, yeah. I am getting the days of the week confused. It has been a long week already, but a fun week, but a long week. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yes, Tuesday out here.
Didn't it feel like Thursday?
Oh, dude, I'm just, you know what? I'm just going with the flow. When I wake up at 7 o'clock, when I get up and get moving around 7, I'll figure it out within what day it is. But yeah, it is Tuesday.
Oh, it's Tuesday. Good.
And then we'll be here today. Tomorrow we'll be over at SEC Media Days after this. And so, yeah, the tour of Andy and Randy, it continues to go on and on and on and on. Always, you know, usually, you know, the big part of the show is us and our mothers. You always hear my mom every single day along with Andy's. Today is my mother's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to my wonderful mother. I love you so much, mommy, and hopefully she has a really good day.
Beautiful.
Yeah, man.
I love it.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, there's a great night of home run derby. Other than that, I know the Hawks had a summer league last night. Saw some bad news from Ryan Howard. She's going to be out for a while, so she hurt herself. Anything else, Jason?
We had a hell of a time at the racetrack on Spring Road.
Oh, yeah. How many?
Over there in Smyrna.
How many windows did you get?
Take a guess. Just take a stab at how many people came by and asked me to squeegee their window yesterday at the racetrack.
10.
0.
Really?
0 people.
Nobody.
I squeegeed 0 windows, except my own. I did do my own because mine was a little dirty. But, yeah, I was shocked. Now, like, a lot of people came because it's a racetrack and a popular, busy road.
Right.
A lot of people were on their way to the home run derby and stuff. But, yeah, I don't know.
Really?
Maybe everybody's windows were clean already. I'm not sure.
That could be.
I was shocked. I will say this. We had a great time. The racetrack, the freeze was there.
Right.
And so they had deals on their, their frozen slushy drinks that they have there at racetrack. That was a nice treat on a hot day. I don't recommend standing in a parking lot on a 97-degree day.
Oh, yeah. You're a little tanner.
It's a little warm out there.
Yeah. And that heat coming off that pavement.
Off the pavement.
Yeah,
it's kind of just radiating up. But, no, we had a good time. I was disappointed. I was hoping to clean some windows off.
Yeah, I mean.
Nobody came by.
That's unbelievable that people passed up. Hey, were you out there where they could, like.
I was out there spinning the sign. Mr. Squeegee.
No, I wasn't.
I was standing by the door.
Okay, I was saying, give you something for that?
Nah, I didn't do that. But it was fun. We had a good time. A lot of people on their way to the home run derby, which was cool. We gave away some Braves tickets, which was awesome. And then the home run derby, I thought, was really fun. I mean, it's a bummer that Matt Olson didn't do well. But, you know, what are you going to do?
You want your guy
to win. He didn't win. But if he couldn't win, I'll take the story that unfolded. Cal Raleigh, was fun to watch.
Yeah, man. But first, you know, I know we were all disappointed about the whole Ron Acuña not being in it. But Matt Olson, I'll tell you what, just the support and the ovation that he got, it was outstanding. It was unbelievable for the Braves fans that were in the building to give him the support that he got and got off to a slow start but tried to finish it out.
Yeah,
really
he made
strong.
It interesting.
He made it interesting and everything like that. But, yeah, it was cool. De La Cruz was one for me. I know he didn't win it. But that first round.
Yeah, O'Neill Cruz, hit a ball 513 feet.
I thought it was going to hit the hotel. Because as high as it was going, like, oh, my damn, is it going to hit the damn hotel?
I was legitimately worried for those kids out there.
Yeah.
Like, every ball that came off his bat was 115 miles an hour.
He was smoking the damn ball.
Like, it's crazy. And then, like, Matt Olson hits long home runs and obviously has a lot of power. It seems pretty clear that a lot of the power that he gets is generated from hitting fastballs.
Yeah.
Because the ball just doesn't come off the bat as hot as it does off of his bat and some of those other guys.
Right.
But, like, O'Neill Cruz, because, I mean, you know, these guys are throwing batting practice pitches. I don't know how fast they are, but it's nowhere near a major league fastball. For him to turn around on a ball like that and be getting that kind of pop, and it doesn't even look like he swings that hard.
Crushed the damn ball.
I remember it was a game against the Braves a couple years ago. Like, he set the record for how hard a ball has ever been hit in the StatCast era. It was like, dang, he hit it that hard? And then you see guys hit 450, 460-foot home runs, and it's not even close to how hard he's hitting the ball. It's crazy. Like, it was a marvel to watch.
Yeah.
He kind of was the story of it just because of all he did.
Yes.
And it's funny how a lot of times the guy that wins it isn't the biggest story.
Yes.
It's just the guy that sort of puts on the show is the biggest story. But then to see, look, Cal Raleigh even got into the second round on a tiebreaker.
Yes.
His farthest home run was that much further than the other guy's home run, so he got to keep going. But then he had a great second round and a great third round. His dad's pitching to him,
which
and his brother's catching.
Which is awesome.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, man. It was a fun time. It got late into the night with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
takes a little while.
Yeah, that was the only thing. It takes a little while. But I think just, you know, watching Ron Lacouille, it's his reaction, and watching all the other players obviously helping and having fun with the other players, the baby, people's kids were out there. So, yeah, I mean, all around just a great start to you know, the All-Star festivities. Obviously, the game is tonight where Ron Lacouille will be back in second.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
How you feel about that?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Feels a little bit like
if they were
a little disrespectful.
If they were in any other stadium.
Yeah.
And I know Ohtani is Ohtani.
He's Ohtani.
He is. He is that guy. I get you. But we're in damn Atlanta.
It's Atlanta.
This is Ronnie's
home.
It's
Ronald Acuna's hometown.
Yes.
Now, maybe he batted third the last couple games before the All-Star break, so maybe Dave Roberts is like, he's not really a leadoff guy anymore.
Man, whatever.
No, I know. I was like, come on.
Whatever.
You got to let Ronnie bat leadoff at home.
At home?
Come on. Shohei could bat second.
He can, too.
I know. That felt like a little bit of a blank measuring contest there from Roberts.
Is it left, right, left, right? Well, why don't you go right, left, right, left?
Yeah, right. This is switch it up the other
way. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I thought the same thing when that came out yesterday. I was like, all right. I mean, respect. It is Ohtani. Like,
yes.
If you're not going to get your normal spot at home in the All-Star game for somebody, I guess it being him.
But he ain't no bum. First of all, none of these guys are bums. But you know what I mean.
No, like, he's like one of the only guys who's actually in that stratosphere.
Yes, he's in there with he's in there with them dudes. You know, and so Dave dropped the ball on this one, man. Yeah, Dave dropped the ball.
No, he knew what he was doing.
Oh, no,
that's
he did it. He did it on purpose.
Yeah,
there wasn't no thing where he was like.
No, this is not an accident.
Like, this ain't – like, I know they already put it out on TV, so, you know, you don't want to second guess it. But he still has time to change it.
He's not going to change it.
Yeah, I know.
No. He wants his guy leading off.
Why?
Because his guy leads off.
I just don't like it.
I don't like it either, but you understand why he's doing it.
Yeah,
he's doing it because we don't like it.
Yeah,
like, that's a part of it cool, Atlanta. You guys like that? How about these double birds?
But the
my guy's going to lead off.
But the atmosphere was crazy. I anticipated being a lot like that tonight. It was going to be a little warm and everything. Atlanta night. But, it should be a fun game tonight. And, you know, hopefully our guys play well. Hopefully, you know, Ronnie goes out and does his thing.
Yeah.
Matt Olson obviously is the only one because Chrisell is not going to pitch. So, yeah, good squad there and do your thing.
He'll get introduced and get clapped for, which would be good. Same thing for Freddie and Max Fried as well. They'll be out there and get an ovation.
Yes.
And they should.
Yes.
They deserve to get the love that they'll get tonight as well. I understand this is like a function of the setup in the Home Run Derby right now, but that split screen thing is trash. Like, trying to watch – and it's like – they hardly even show the batter,
right?
Because you have to only angle it here, and then the other half of the screen is just what are we looking at? Like, is it a baseball? How am I supposed to? I can't even really tell what's going on. And then he's swinging again. It's like the format itself was better when it was just 10 outs anyway.
Yeah.
Because then guys could take their time a little bit more, and you didn't have to do that ridiculous, like,
you don't have to worry about Harry getting reset.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was hard to watch. Like, it was hard to watch on TV. The ESPN2 broadcast was a little bit better just because they had a better angle of the hitter,
right?
So you could see behind him and you could actually see the ball go. But even still, it was a split screen. It's just busy. This is kind of a lot going on.
Yeah. They're trying to get every angle they could possibly get to you because people are probably like the different angle as far as watching the ball go out. I'm just like I don't even really pay attention. I just look at the counter. I do. I'm like, or look at the kids and see where the kids are running. Okay, that's not a home run.
I just remember when it was the 10 outs and the guys
could
kind of breathe between it.
That's how I like it.
If, like, O'Neill Cruz hit a 513-foot home run last night and had to reset and hit again before the ball even landed.
Yes.
Like, back in the day, when the guys, they would admire it.
You can admire it and all that.
And it was fun because when they, you know, if you got a guy like Sosa or McGuire or Griffey or one of these, you know, one of these guys that could really hit bombs and was a great home run hitter, that would take a minute and admire his own home run.
Yes.
And everybody else would go nuts because they all see it. I just feel like it takes a little bit of the, I don't know, some of the mystique of those huge home runs away when it's just like pow, 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 pow.
Because that's what it is. It's rapid. And then you see the exhaustion that some of these guys are in because it is exhausting.
I think they fixed the thing that wasn't broken.
I agree with 100% agree with that. But, yeah, you see these guys, they're exhausted from going over and over and over again. And then by the time, like, you got to have an extra reserve tank when you get into the final rounds of this thing, man. But, again, like, I just thought, you know, it was fun. You had some guys. And that's what we talked about before yesterday is, like, who's the guy that everybody knows? You know, who's the guy that's going to stand out?
Nobody.
Nobody really, right? But, I mean, the bopper is becoming a fun household name because he is a big bopper or whatever.
That's not his nickname.
What is his name?
I think you know.
No, I'm not going to say it.
But you know it.
I'm not going to say it.
But you're just saying big bopper because you don't want to say it?
I would never say that.
Do you want me to say it?
No, I don't. Because
But it's his nickname.
We don't call grown men that stuff.
Well, but it's his nickname. Right. Like, we didn't make
bopper.
It up. You and I weren't sitting there and said, hey, Randy, look at the ass on that guy.
And I'm not – exactly. Right.
We didn't do that.
I'm not called –
One of his teammates did.
I did notice I've not called him that since.
I have noticed.
Yes, you have noticed.
Have you noticed
him.
That I kind of like that you don't like it?
Yes, I don't like it. I don't give men –
It's funny that the biggest story last night in Atlanta was a big dumper and it wasn't Beyonce.
Yeah. Oh, damn. How long it took you to do that?
I thought of that this morning.
Yeah.
I thought of that this morning.
Yeah, bopper did his thing.
No,
man.
Dumper. Big dumper. No, that's his nickname.
You can call him that.
Well, I will. Yeah, I will. Because, again, I'm not sitting here like I'm not making it up. I'm not it's not my observation. I'm just calling the man the nickname that he has.
And I won't call him that. I like bopper.
Well, it's bopper. Anybody could be bopper. Big bopper was the guy that died in the plane crash with Richie Valens.
He was. He picked the long straw.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah. Whatever.
Big dumper's alive and well.
Yeah, man. But
he's probably within 300 yards of us right now.
And I would, if he walked in here right now, would you call him that?
No, I'd call him Cal.
Okay.
What's up, Cal?
Okay.
Shout out Western North Carolina.
Yeah.
I know more about Cal Raleigh and his family after he won that home run derby last night because, again, he's from the part of the world that my wife is from, and my wife's brother grew up playing Little League with him and all that. look, this is the family text thread. This is just all the stuff about Cal Raleigh from this morning. His uncle is Boyce Dietz.
Who?
He was the coach at Swain County, and he was also a high school. He coached Heath Shuler in high school too. So yeah, so he's got ties going back. His dad, this is actually really cool. His dad was the head coach at Western Carolina, the head baseball coach at Western Carolina, and he quit when Cal got to high school so he could go to all his games.
Oh, awesome! Because
he didn't want to miss. Okay. He didn't want to miss all that. All
right.
So
this is all Jim's info, right?
I think I heard that on the broadcast last night, actually.
Right. Like Jim went on him. He was the text thread. That's the family text thread.
Yeah.
Like, who led the conversation with Jim?
Well, so I said first, I just wanted to know if he was from their county because I wanted to say if he's from Haywood County.
Okay.
He's not. He's from Jackson County.
Okay.
And then Julie went off on a bunch of stuff because one of her coworkers' boyfriends played with him growing up.
Okay.
So she's giving me info. Someone named Elise Pearl Buchanan is a relative.
Okay.
And then Jim told me some other stuff. They're very proud of him.
Okay, that's
They're
good.
They're proud
that's
of him.
That's good, man. That's
and his
good.
Large dumper.
Yeah. There's got to be another reason. Like, maybe he went in the bathroom after him or something.
Nah, man.
That could be it.
It's not. There's the reason that it is the reason you don't want it to be.
Yeah.
Because his ass is huge.
I'm not going to say that. And I'm feeling quite uncomfortable that you said that four times about another grown man.
That's maybe. True. It's just.
You know, do you watch? Do you sit there and look?
I'm saying.
No.
It's true that his nickname is that.
Because of that. But I'm asking you.
Honestly, I don't think I even. I. It didn't seem that big to me.
Oh, my God.
You know? Like, it seems like pretty normal. Like, I've seen plenty of big asses before. It seems pretty normal size. Anyway, we'll come back and get to what's trending here to kick off the show on a Tuesday. I guess it's Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We're live at Murph's. Randy might have quit, so we'll see if Randy comes back. But I'll be here, so we'll talk to you in a few minutes. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Cal Raleigh swings, fly ball, right field. It's going. It is gone. 18 for Raleigh.
There you have it. Some of the highlights of the home run derby last night. Cal Raleigh wins the thing. It's not often, I didn't realize this, but they talked about it a lot on the broadcast last night. Not often the guy that comes into the home run derby leading baseball in homers, as Cal Raleigh does, wins the home run derby only like three or four times in the last couple of decades.
Right.
So the season of Cal Raleigh, the home run hitter, continues. Also cool as he kind of broke all of Ken Griffey Jr.'s Mariners first half homer records, becomes only the second Mariner ever to win the home run derby
yeah.
as well. So, yeah, man, good night for him. Obviously, fun night over there at the stadium to kick off the All-Star festivities. Well, I suppose they had, you know, they had some other stuff with the celebrity game and all of that. But
yeah.
the All-Star is kicking off the All-Star festivities. And then today, the All-Star game tonight. So, fun to be here at Murph's and kind of be taking it all in.
Where is Seattle at in the standings, though?
They're having a pretty good year.
I don't know if they're in first place or what.
I
know Aaron Judge is probably the best player in the American League, and we understand that. But can he get to a point where
he's leading
MVP?
MVP,
and that's what
yeah.
I'm saying. So you think of home runs, All-Star game.
Yeah, they're five games behind Houston.
Thanks, Bo. And then you look at it from the standpoint of if he keeps on hitting home runs where he is, that's a player type territory.
Definitely. And the thing about Judge, too, is you know how MVP voters are. They want what's new.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy kind of – I mean, he's been a good player, and the Mariners signed him to a contract extension this last offseason. But, like, no one saw this coming. Like, 38 home runs before the All-Star break is insane. If he can get to – I mean, again, we talked about this yesterday. He's 12 home runs away from 50.
Yes.
I mean, he gets to 50 – that's you're already in the MVP conversation, and he obviously already is. The Mariners are a pretty good team, too. So, yeah, pretty good chance he wins the MVP. Hadn't had a Mariner MVP since Ichiro in 2001. So,
ooh, it's been tough sledding up there.
It's been just worse than that. It's been, I mean, they made the playoffs one time in the last 25 years.
Oh.
They got swept by the Astros.
Yeah, you did tell me that.
Yeah. Bad franchise.
But, I mean, you're no longer a fan, so who cares?
No, I mean, no, I don't. It doesn't hurt my feelings or anything, but it's just true is true, you know. It's one of the sneaky bad ones, too, because no one really thinks about it. Like, you still think about the Griffey days and all the good players they've had. But, yeah, I mean, there was a time where they had the longest playoff drought of any American professional team, and it wasn't close.
Yeah.
Like, they were going on 20 years when they got in a couple years ago.
Who is it now, again, Jets?
Is
it the Jets?
Well,
no, I'm pretty sure it's somebody else.
No, I think I think you might be right.
Yeah.
If you just go in baseball, basketball, football.
Yeah.
Because the Kings finally made the playoffs.
Yep.
I think in the NFL, it's the Jets, the Panthers, and the Falcons are all kind of there in the top three as far as having not made the playoffs. That's what that is. SEC Media Day is going on as well down at the College Football Hall of Fame. Dalen Everett is going to join us in about 20 minutes, right? We'll talk to Dalen Everett from the Georgia Bulldogs. Kirby Smart's going to join us today at some point as well. Looking forward to that conversation. But let's hear from Greg Sankey yesterday, the commissioner of the SEC, talking about if there will be some magic moment for playoff expansion.
We had a different view coming out of Destin around the notion of allocations, if you will. And I think you'll probably hear that again from our coaches. The Big Ten has a different view. That's fine. We have a 12-team playoff, five conference champions. That could stay if we can't agree. I think there's this notion that there has to be some magic moment and something has to happen with expansion and it has to be forced.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's playing it the way that he needs to be playing it. Like, he doesn't need to be in any rush for it to happen. The SEC is going to get a lot of teams in every single year, whether it's 12 or 16 or 14 or 4 or whatever it is. The SEC is going to get a lot of teams in. I just, you know, this is all – there's more money to be made with 16, so they're going to do
it. They're going to do it, yeah. And I thought,
they're going to do it.
I think, Andy, I said it's December 1st, the deadline or whatever. They got to have all this stuff worked out. To me, it seems like it's a blank measuring contest between the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yes.
Basically. And it's like, we just won the past two national championships. Well, we've won this many of the last national championships.
Right.
All right. And so that's what we were talking about yesterday about the ACC and the Big 12 just like sitting there on the side. Like, whatever you guys do, we have no choice but to go along with.
But they also have to try to participate in the blank measuring contest,
too. Yeah, you got to whip it out, too. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. But then Sankey yesterday was like, yeah, put it away.
Put it away.
In fact, it's written in the contract that we have final say. And he was going on and on about how, like, 70% of all college football viewership on television is SEC, Big Ten, all that kind of stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, like, we know.
Stay in your damn corner and shut up.
You don't have to do all this stuff. Just either don't, and you're gonna.
Yeah.
Like, of course you are. So, every time there's been an opportunity to expand, you've done it. You're gonna do it. Just do it.
But it seems like it's one – I want it my way.
right.
I want it this way. And no, I'm not willing to compromise. That's why he said the little thing. I bet if you want to leave it at 12, we can just leave it at 12. That's just like, that's letting you know that I'm going to eventually hold out long enough or whatever I got to do to win this argument. And it's going to be how I want it. That's what him and the commissioner of the Big Ten are doing right now, basically. So with the ACC and the Big Ten, I mean, the Big 12 are over there doing is like, well, let's just wait to see who's our friend. Who's the big brother of the two that come put their arm around our shoulder?
Just so long as we get our auto bid.
That's the
we
only thing
we need to make sure
about.
We have our auto bid.
Only thing they care about. And then, I want four. All right, just give us one.
Yeah, just give us one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. 5-11 seems like probably the way that it'll end up going, and that's fine. I don't know. Seems good. 16 at the very least is a number that makes more sense. Yeah. Like, it's divisible by four.
Yeah.
16, 8, 4, 2, 1.
Yep.
Like every other tournament. 12 doesn't make any damn sense. But what are we doing with 12? 14?
Too much lag, right?
14's even worse. All right, here's Brian Kelly
That's
talking about.
Ugly as hell.
14. Yeah, 14's the worst 14 one. Is 14's ugly. The worst one. Because yes. Then there's. Yeah, anyway. Here's Brian Kelly talking about struggling in openers.
I know everybody's excited about the season. Everybody here is excited about it. And we're certainly looking forward to the opportunity because we open up with a great program in Clemson. I know Dabo very well and respect him and his program and the accomplishments they've had. We've played against each other several times when I was at Notre Dame and just have a ton of respect. But we've also been 0-3 in openers at LSU under my watch. And we needed to do some things differently this year. And that is embrace this opener and embracing it in a manner that this is a big game, and it's a tangible goal for our football team to want to be 1-0.
He ain't been in New Orleans long enough, but I sure was hoping he was going to stay program.
Yeah.
Yeah. He ain't been in New Orleans long enough, man.
And I mean, I guess maybe he's talking about Clemson, so if he was talking about his own team, he would have said program?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. Was that like a slight at Clemson, not calling him a program?
It could. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a game. And right before we came over, me and Gordo had looked it up. Yeah, Florida State, back-to-back. Identical score.
Yeah.
And then USC last year.
It was not a good team. USC was not a good team last year.
They were an awful team last year. But I think that, you know, first of all, the fans want to see this. You want to see this. I know Georgia has cakewalk week one, but I love when they open against Oregon and things like that.
Clemson last year.
I love those type of big games. But I think, you know, LSU, there's a lot of hype around them. Rightfully so, they got a really good quarterback. It's LSU. They got dudes, man. Come on, I know they lose guys. They lost tackles and all that. But it's LSU. They got freaking dudes. I'm anxious to see what Perkins comes back in.
Yeah, man.
I love that dude.
We've been talking about Harold Perkins.
I love that cat right
because
there,
of what
man.
He did his freshman yeah. year, and then they started moving him around, and yeah. then obviously he got hurt.
Yeah.
It's almost hard to believe that he's still there.
Yeah, man.
Feels like he's been at LSU for such a long time.
Yeah.
But, put him in the right place and let him get to the quarterback.
But I think it's been a great game between the two going down to Clemson with his LSU. And you look at where he's at. He's in his fourth year. I think Nick won one in his fourth.
Yes.
I think Orgeron's
yes.
fourth.
Yes.
And then Les Miles was fourth. Third or something. Third or fourth.
I think it might have been. They all had won one by the end of their fourth.
Yes.
So I think one of them got it in their third year. Okay. I don't remember which one it was.
Right.
But, yeah, by the end of their fourth season,
yes.
the other three coaches that have been the head coaches at LSU in this century
yes.
have had a national championship.
Yes. Now, one of them got a national championship. How, like, Gene Chizik got a national championship because they had a one-man record career quarterback.
Yes.
Wasn't the best head coach in the world.
It's true.
But
don't let that get in the way of the narrative.
Because he got it.
The narrative is Brian Kelly better win a national championship this year.
Well, could you imagine him sitting there talking to the dude? Because you think about the collectives. You think about all that stuff, the collectives and all that crap that's going on. Like eventually you're going to have to buy out these guys. Those people that give all the money to the school are the same people that got to get money to buy the coach, right?
That's right.
Okay.
It's interesting.
I know his buyout got to be something serious here.
This is the first year, and maybe last year was like this too. I don't remember. Maybe I correct me if I'm wrong. All 16 coaches are the same
yes.
from year to year in
yes.
the SEC.
Yes.
Almost all the coordinators, defensive and offensive coordinators, are the same. I know a few left.
Right.
But by and large,
Alabama got a new one in. With his guy,
right.
Guy
but
came
for
back.
The, I think for the most part, across the 16 teams, like between the two coordinators, like 30 of the, or maybe 28
continuity,
of the.
Continuity, man.
Yeah.
Continuity.
It also costs money. yeah. to buy those dudes out.
And that's what I'm saying.
You'd rather give that money to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Instead of the quarterback coach.
I don't think the teams have all of a sudden become in love with continuity.
Right.
I think they got to separate the money out. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, we kind of hate this offensive coordinator, but it's going to cost $3 million to buy him out and get a new guy. Give it to the quarterback.
Yep.
We'll figure it out. It just seems to me like the money always talks. Just follow it. We'll talk to Dalen Everett coming up next. Georgia defensive back, one of the great returning members of that defense. He's live at SEC Media Days. We'll catch up with him coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What? Oh, my bad, y'all.
No, I think they liked it.
My bad.
I think that made everybody happy here at Murph's. Cobb Galleria hanging out as the All-Star game is tonight. Home Run Derby was last night. Shout out again to the good folks at Murph's
who have
really been taking great care of us and Dukes and Bell. The last handful of days, really fun to be here. Tomorrow and Thursday, we will be at SEC Media Days.
Yes.
Or we will. But I know the station has already been out there the last couple of days. And Dalen Everett. Georgia Bulldog going to join us in just a few minutes as well, as today is among Auburn, Texas, and Tennessee, also Georgia Day at SEC Media Days. We'll also talk to Kirby Smart later on in the show too. But, yeah, man, just a busy week, a lot going on, really, really fun because this is oftentimes thought of as kind of the quiet time of year. Not here, in Atlanta, not this year.
No. I mean, it's been this whole week has been, you know, from Beyonce being here, wrapped up her stuff, and like you said, SEC is here in town, All Star Weekend. So yeah, it's been a festival, busy, you know, usually slow July here in Atlanta. You know what I mean? Because usually not too many all this stuff going on, but now everything's here all at the same time. Because you know, as the Braves were stinking, we were like, well, at least we got SEC Media Days.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least we got an All Star game coming up.
No, it is nice.
Yeah, and then by the time we get back to our regular cycle of stuff, it'll be time to go to training camp.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, by the time, you know, we kind of have to start talking about the actual Braves season again and not the fun All-Star stuff. And
They won't be in what's trending.
They'll be a mention.
I mean, they'll be mentioned.
They'll be like,
they won't leave.
Exactly. We won't do the whole first 15 minutes of the show on how they left 13 runners in scoring position.
Yeah, we
don't
do that no more.
No, we don't. It's going to be great. We're going to back burner those bad boys like we did Atlanta United three months ago.
Keep playing around.
It's good that you mentioned it, Randy, because Falcons training camp is coming. From July 24th, that's a week from Thursday, through August 13th, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game brings you exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp with the morning shift, the Steakhouse, and Andy and Randy broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. And when practice wraps up, join Dukes and Bell at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia.
The Taj Mahooters.
Is brought to you by your North Georgia Honda dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party.
Yeah.
Live coverage of Falcons training camp starts on July 24th.
I like how you say that.
I read it from the paper.
I like how you said that. Ain't no party like a Hooters party.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, man, it's always fun because I got to go over there and see Jerome, old loud lying self. Man.
Oh, right.
Like Gordon said, Jerome owe me money. I love me some damn Jerome. But, yeah, I go over there and see what's going on there. But, yeah, man, it's going to be it's going to be a lot different than it was last year. A lot of fans are going to be out there.
Yeah, that'll be great.
That was always the fun part about it. The worst part is the last 2 hours of the show is just me and you, the producer, and Abe sitting in the parking lot.
Yeah. I was thinking about it yesterday when we were at Racetrack, and I was like, oh, yeah. Being under a tent in the heat in a parking lot. This brings back memories. Last year being in those Ticketmaster studios in the AC. That was nice.
Yeah.
Back to reality this year. Now, again.
It's always fun.
I'll take the trade-off because fans get to be there and sit up on the hill and watch practice. And we get to see people that really we only see like once a year.
Right.
Because folks come to training camp from out of town. Like you travel in to come watch it for a day or a weekend or something like that. So it'll be nice to get back out there and see the fans and interact like that. And just have everybody get to be a part of it because we were saying this last year, and hopefully we don't, you know, have to do this a year from now like we are now. But last year was like, man, all the excitement about this team, it would be cool if people could be here.
Right.
And then it fizzled and it went the way that it went.
Yeah.
There's excitement about this team.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool that people will be able to be there. People want to see Michael Penix in person.
Yeah, man.
Slinging the ball all over training camp. That'll be fun.
Yeah, we go. I just love the sideline commentary because always that one guy. who's going to be over there. That ain't nothing. That tighten up. You know, yeah, they're right there, which is always the funnest. The funnest part about
so like a position coach or something.
No.
Oh, so it's a fan.
Yeah,
a fan.
Those are always the fun ones and everything. But yeah, like I said, it's going to be a lot of fun to be back out there. We're out there Thursday, then Sunday is the big show, and then probably all of the next week.
Yeah, there's like it's like 3 days a week for the next couple weeks after that.
Yeah, you bringing out the? You want to get mom's whip?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot of driving.
Yeah, man.
A lot of driving they've put on the old Element. Yeah. You know, Element could do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not underestimating. I'm just saying Element gas mileage wise.
It's battle tested, doggy.
I'll buy one tank of gas all of training camp in the Prius.
Right.
Element, who knows? A couple, maybe once a week or something like that. So, just being economical.
That's all. That's
trying
that's
to be
all,
smart.
That's all you can do.
Do my
man.
Part.
Yeah, but it should be because of. You know the expectation. I'm interested to see where Kirk, with group he goes with. I don't know why. But I'm interested.
What do you hope?
I hope he goes with the third group. I really did.
Why?
I really did with the rookies.
But
man.
He's the backup, right?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he be with the twos?
Technically, is the backup. I just want to sit with threes.
Why would they do that?
They would not.
You don't think so?
Yeah, they would not.
Oh, okay.
Maybe in a preseason game. Not even preseason because I don't think he'll play in the preseason. You can't play him in a preseason behind the twos.
How come?
Because
he's the backup.
But yet you still want to try to trade his ass.
Right.
You get him out there, Kurt.
You got to keep him healthy.
You get Kurt non-mobile ass behind that two offensive line.
Again, what a weird situation.
It's weird
like
as
he
hell.
Is the backup quarterback, right. But you can't treat him like the backup
right.
quarterback because he makes $40 million a year,
yep.
And you maybe want to trade him. And if he gets hurt behind a backup offensive line, you're not going to be able to trade him. Dalen Everett is on the way as he is one of the three Georgia players at SEC Media Days. One of the funny things about Kirby's media availability earlier today, Gunnar Stockton's there,
yes.
Right? Like Gunnar Stockton is one of the three Georgia players representing the program at
program.
SEC Media Days. Program.
Yeah.
Still not named the starter.
Why does Kirby need to name a starter?
True.
Why, but my thing is this. Why is the obvious – always need to be answered.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
But
that's Kirby, though. Why
it is. It's exactly
that's
what it is.
Why would he? There's no. He does not have a starting anything. He doesn't have a starting center. He doesn't have a starting tailback.
Sure.
None of that.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
and he hasn't named the starting safeties. Why would he name the starting quarterback?
Exactly. And so
it's
yeah.
just kind of, you know.
He knows what he's doing.
Of course he does.
And
of course he does.
It's always funny to me when because we're used to it now, but some of Kirby won't even name a damn starting quarterback. What's going on up there, Georgia? Nothing's going on in Georgia. Kirby's
no.
going on in Georgia.
Yeah, I don't think it's a – I think there's enough track record now to understand that when you say Kirby knows what he's doing, that means more than one thing.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, yes, Kirby knows what he's doing. He wins all the games.
Yeah.
He's a very good coach.
Yeah.
But also in doing that, he knows what he's doing. Like – he's messing with the media.
Yeah,
like,
but it's fun.
It's fun.
It is fun for him.
It is very funny to have a guy at SEC Media Days at that position and then
the
still not commit to him being the starting quarterback in front of the assembled media.
But
that is
funny. Like Deion had both his quarterbacks because he
right.
Deion said, I don't know who's going to start.
That would have been even funnier if Kirby would have brought Puglisi and Stockton.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been great right there, man. But, no, I love it. But, Gunner is he's in the house. Maybe everybody was still on vacation. I don't know because you know he's a low key guy that still drives the same old Bronco, and so he can't.
I don't have a Bronco.
He'd be
sick if he had an 84 Bronco.
An F-150
is an 84 F-150, which is also nice. It's a nice
yeah.
a nice truck.
Yeah,
durable.
'84. Okay,
same year as me.
It better be durable. It better be 2025.
There's a lot of '84 people out there. Not a lot of '84 vehicles out there rolling around.
It better be damn durable. But I keep laughing because I'm like, okay, because it's hard to say Georgia's under the radar, but
they are though.
But
kinda.
They are kind of.
Yeah.
Kinda, and I think that's a different. And we don't live in a world where Georgia doesn't believe they're always an underdog when Kirby gets a hold of a clip or something
no,
like
this
that.
Is perfect because it allows him to do that, which
yes.
he loves to, every coach loves to do, but he loves to do, and it allows him to say, you know, whatever, who knows where they'll be picked amongst the media at SEC Media Days. I'm sure a lot of people will pick them to win the conference. Maybe some people won't. Kirby's hoping they don't,
yep.
So he can use that as fuel. the main reason they're under the radar is because of Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah.
Like, there's an unknown commodity at quarterback who's a pretty, you know, like, I don't know if he's soft-spoken, but, like, mild-mannered. You just don't know a ton about him. Whereas last year you're coming in with Carson Beck, who was one of the Heisman favorites, and yeah. you had seen him lead a team that was undefeated all the way to the SEC championship game the year before.
Right.
Like, there was an easy understanding about all the hype last season. But here's the thing. What'd the hype get you? You know? Carson didn't play good.
Hell no.
You know?
And they didn't play good around.
He played well at times, but yeah. Now, again, they still did win the SEC championship. So, like, let me not sound like I'm being disrespectful about the team accomplishments. Good. What did it get you? It was an SEC championship,
yes.
which is very impressive.
Yes.
But, yeah, like, hype led to that. Less hype this year. You know, who knows what it'll lead to. One of the guys that's going to be a big factor in what the season is this year for the Georgia Bulldogs is Dalen Everett, who joins us right now on the show, live from SEC Media Days. Dalen, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's a real fun experience to be at this Media Day. So,
I got a question. Our first question for you. Are you the starting cornerback?
Am I?
Did Kirby name you the starting cornerback yet?
Nah, man, I still got to work for my stuff, so I try to put in work every day to make sure I, you know, get that spot. So
it's just not the quarterback position.
It's not just the
quarterback.
Because everybody's making a big deal about Gunnar Stockton being there, but Kirby hasn't named him the starter yet.
Yeah.
So you know how media
yeah,
do.
Yeah, you never know. You know, you might see me out there.
All right.
Oh, see, there
you go. Now you just made a headline.
See, there
congratulations.
You go.
I'm just kidding.
There you go.
You just made a headline. How is it, though? I mean, you said it's fun to be there. Obviously, it's just one of the, you know, one of the media events of the year in college football, and you get to be one of the three guys representing the Georgia Bulldogs. What does that mean to you?
No, it's definitely a fun experience, but I'm just very honored just to be picked to be one of the three people to represent my team. And, you know, I'm just extremely grateful just to be at this event, so.
Why do you think you are? What is it that Kirby looks for in players that lead to him bringing you to an event like this?
I really just think, even just for me, Gunnar and CJ as well, to see how much we've grown, like, from a leadership standpoint from the first day we were here to up to this point. And just, you know, seeing that and just I feel like that's, like, the biggest thing. Like, yeah.
And that was going to be my question, the leadership, because you're technically a third-year junior, and – I would view you as an OG because you are a third year at the same school, junior. How has that maturation been for you? I might call you old, but then like
yeah.
that.
Well, actually, I might be a little older. I'm actually a fourth year senior, but
okay, there you go.
Yeah,
they got you listed as a junior, right? But I'm saying, like, you've been there from, like, the time you left high school to right now.
Yeah.
How has that been for you? Meeting, you see, you guys, or not you guys, but I'm saying the day in college football is so much movement amongst players. You stuck it out all these years, and you went through not starting, playing some, and then being the player that you are now because you're one of the best corners in America.
Yeah, you know, really just not really letting that get to your head and just, like, just try to keep my head down and just work and not, like, just trust the process, just knowing. Because, like, you know, you come out of high school, like, you know, you kind of had an expectation that you want to play a lot. But, like, if that doesn't happen, you can't just give up. You just keep your head down, keep working, keep trusting the process. And honestly, I feel like I was at the best spot, so I didn't really see a reason for me to go anywhere else because I just love being a Georgia Bulldog. So,
hell yeah.
Dalen Everett joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy live from SEC Media Days. I heard that Kirby did a thing in spring where he had everybody who's been through three spring practices at Georgia either stand up or come to the front or raise your hand or something. Obviously, you're one of those guys. There would be less guys this year than in years past. That number being what it is, like, what do you think that kind of says just about all of the change in college football, and what does it say about the guys that have been there through those three springs or four?
Just those are all the guys, you know, that stuck it through, that just kind of felt like how the same way I felt like we were in the best position, best spot. And, you know, just seeing that number not as high kind of shows that we're also kind of a younger team.
Right.
But we try not to let that affect us because even though that we're young, we still have guys that can play everywhere. So,
what's the biggest thing you learned from Kirby being your head coach since you've been there?
Don't let some of the stuff he say get into my head because, you know, in practice, you know, he get on that microphone.
Right.
It can get a little ugly. So, just trying to grow from that and just understanding the message and not the tone. That's probably like the biggest thing I learned from him.
That's a good line, the message and not the tone.
Yeah.
He talked about how that's hard for some of the younger guys.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Some young guys don't have never heard that kind of coaching, don't really want to. Like, how do you get coached to learn how to take coaching?
I mean, it takes a little bit of time just because, you know, like, I'm pretty sure, like, in high school – like, anyone can speak for this. Like, in high school, you don't have a coach, like, yelling at you on a microphone for the whole campus to hear. So, like, you got to get adjusted to that. And, like, it takes time. But, like, some of the older guys, like, I know for me, like, that helped me. Some of the older guys came in, like, my freshman year, just told me, like, you know, like, you can't really let that get to your head. Like, you just – if you hear on the mic, like, just know, like, he getting on you. Like, he's trying to coach you. Like, don't really take it the wrong way. Or, like, just don't let it get to your head. So, like, sometimes I just get to the point where, like, sometimes I'll try to just, like, laugh it off. I'll be like, dang, like, he's on the mic. Like, he's snapping today. So.
You're tripping.
Well, Dalen, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Good luck this season, man.
Stay healthy, Bulldog. I said stay healthy, man. Thanks, thanks for your time, brother.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Take care.
Dalen Everett there, Georgia Bulldog, one of the guys who's been around for – longer than most.
Yeah, man.
He's a kind of a unique player in college football these days that'll play all 4 years at one school. He got more and more playing time as the season went on last year, and then partially due to injuries at the end of his freshman year as well in 23. That dude can play.
Dude, I would not be surprised if he's the next one. But it was so funny because Mama lives in Barnesville. My little cousins had to move in with Mama, and so they graduated. I went down to graduation, and people were you know CJ. I said, no, ma'am, I do not know him.
Now you do.
Now I do. But you know, that's my cousin's uncle's brother's nephew. Yeah, boy, we love them Georgia Bulldogs, CJ. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
The longer the relation to someone gets, the more qualifications you have to give, the more famous you know they are.
Yes.
Like, everyone in Barnesville is going to have some sort of relation to CJ by the end of this season, which, again, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's first-team All-SEC.
I wouldn't
be surprised at all if he's first-team All-American. I mean, you're wearing number 3. Playing linebacker for Georgia, you know, you're walking in the footsteps of some great players.
Yeah, man.
And look, he answers it right with saying, hype doesn't win football games. We don't care about that one way or the other. But I would not be surprised if by the middle of the year, he and some of those other guys are starting to generate some hype that maybe isn't there now.
Yeah, I mean,
that dude can ball.
He can play, man. And I think the one thing about, you know, the hype and all that other stuff, you make it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? You know, you make it right now. And I think, you know, talking points in the off season aren't really geared towards Georgia. Obviously, we remember the question I pointed out to you yesterday. I was like, "Who's the biggest? Who's going to be the biggest star at SEC media day? Is it going to be Kirby, or is it going to be Manning?
Yeah,
Arch. Is it Arch?
It's Arch.
Yeah, they're waiting for Arch. They're waiting for Arch because one reason, the name, but also he's a really good player. But he's still, even though he's going to his third year, he's relatively a young quarterback out here. You know, he's played some games and everything, but it's like, it's all on you. We talk about it all the time. When you are the first guy that comes off the sideline on a game day, that's it. You know what I mean? You're not coming in a certain play or a certain grouping or anything like that. No, you're going out with the first team no matter what, and that's a different story for them.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll grab a break as we broadcast live from Murph's at Cobb Galleria. We are going to catch up with Dale Murphy at some point over the next half hour or so. Kirby Smart's going to join us at 1:20. Shout out to the Georgia Bulldogs that have already joined us as well. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.